Fox News has got to go. Their influence on American politics has been nothing but negative, and this week we find out exactly why. You're listening to the Three Rural White Guys podcast. Who are the Three Rural White Guys? Kellen Gracie is a data and political scientist. Jacob Dodds is a rural healthcare professional. And I'm Mike Heaton, an expert in nonprofit management and rural economic development. In the end, though, we're just three rural white guys sitting in our garage, drinking beer, and talking about rural politics.
Grew up with cornfields in every direction. That's where I learned all of my lessons about life and living without fences in the land of the free to have opinions. If you work a job, you ought to make a living. George Strait or George Gay, there's no difference. People need help and I think that we should listen. Three chords and my truth is I'm a good old boy with a bleeding heart. Just a homegrown hick with a hybrid car.
But before we get into it, Mike,
yes,
you know what else needs to go?
What else needs to go?
For our listeners that are probably wondering why we dropped off the face of the earth, Three Rural White Guys apparently needs a new IT manager.
We do. We do. Who's the old IT manager, Jacob? So yeah, our apologies, because the reality is our old producer sucked. He was horrible. And that was me, if you didn't catch that so far. I've been the one doing all the editing, all that kind of stuff. So this is a big day for us, a really, really big day for us. We have, player four has entered the game. Are we going to call you Bernie? Is that officially our title for you, Bernie?
Tell me that.
Okay, Bernie, talk to us. Are you excited to be here? What's your background? Do you know anything about this stuff?
Mildly excited.
So if you hear that fourth voice in the background, it's another rural white guy. Who we kidding? But thank you. Hopefully our episodes are about to get out a lot sooner and also sound a hell of a lot better. Pretty much a guarantee. So it's good to have you here, Bernie. All right. So Fox News has got to go. This week is so big. All kinds of stuff is happening in courtrooms across our country, mostly on the eastern side of the country. We didn't even talk about the Trump lawsuits. We're going to get to those here maybe a little bit if we get a chance to, because we are talking about the party of lawlessness here in a little bit. But first and foremost, with our theme, Fox News has got to go. What is going on right now with Fox News that we'd be saying that, other than the fact that we don't like Fox News? Kellen.
So, well, this morning we were supposed to get a lawsuit started. So I think on the 13th, we had jury selection, and today we were supposed to fire up with opening statements. Dominion Voting Systems v. Fox News Corp. lawsuit is a civil case brought against Fox News, and it's for like $1.6
billion,
basically.
Whoa, say that again. $1.6 billion?
Yeah. Yeah, and part of this, if they lose this case, another part of this is likely part of it will be Fox News will have to do one of these things on air where like every 20 minutes they have to stop and say, as mandated by whatever judicial authority, we have to inform you that for 2.5 years we lied to you about the big lie and told you that the election was stolen and gave you lies about Dominion voting systems, and we are court obligated to tell you that that was all bullshit.
So we're going all the way back to, who was that attorney that hung out with Giuliani that just threw out all kinds of lies?
Sidney Powell.
Sidney Powell. So this is all, I remember right after the elections, all the way
she's just one, actually.
January 6th, all that stuff was happening.
Yeah. Right? She's just one, though. One of many people who went on Fox News and said shit like that. Things like Dominion voting systems, when you use their voting machines in Georgia, if you push the button for Trump, it automatically switched it to Biden, and they had proof of all this and that it swung all these elections, and 100% of that stuff happened for Biden but not for Trump, right? Like all this stuff
only in the close states that Trump lost, not the close states that Trump won.
Well, Dominion voting system also has voting systems in other states where Trump did very well, and of course none of the lawsuits are about the Dominion.
Of course not.
Well, they had some really batshit stuff too, right? Like there were satellite link ups from Italy or something too, that were controlling the machines. Chavez was controlling them from the grave or something. I don't know.
Is it Chavez?
How stupid.
Well, there was something about it being tied to Venezuela.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
I remember Venezuela being.
Or they were like a partial owner of Dominion or something. Yeah, something.
So the like bottom line here.
I've lost track of the craziness.
Right. Well, and the bottom line here, it was all false. Like, there was no proof to back it up. And the idea here, I'm guessing, is that Fox prances around like a news service, even though we all know they're not technically a news service.
Yeah, we've already established they're licensed by the FCC as an entertainment channel, not a news media.
But even in that context, though, they still repeated these notions with no proof whatsoever, as if they were fact, completely undermining an entire company whose livelihoods and employees are dependent on their machines that they put all kinds of hours and time in to make work. Is that the summary here? Like, they lied openly and destroyed a company.
Yeah, well, and we know from the discovery process, there's already evidence out there from internal emails and text messages that they knew this.
Wait, who knew this?
Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham and the producers.
So like the big dogs.
Yeah, they were going on TV and spouting this shit every night, but there's evidence that shows they know that this is batshit crazy. And that it's crap. So, I mean, it's pretty much an airtight defamation case.
So defamation is the right term.
For yeah, it's a defamation case.
Okay.
And the trial was supposed to start today, but Fox asked the judge to delay it so that they can have discussions about, they want to settle this out because they don't want all of the evidence to come out as to how much of a joke of a news corporation they are.
Jacob just did quotes in the air for our listeners.
Yeah, I did the news. The Don Jr. thing.
Yeah. And, you know, by and large, democracy is sort of important to me. I don't know what you guys think, but when people come out and openly say democracy is being subverted intentionally to get one person elected over another, absolutely. If you have proof of that, let's take their asses to court. Let's sue them. Let's throw them in jail. That is, to me, a form of treason, right? You're taking away the voice of the people, the voice of the electorate, and that is not okay. But you only do that if you got proof. And it sounds to me like, well, we know because we were there, the Republican Party went about their thing. They lost. They cried like babies. How the hell could they lose? Because they have the biggest crowds that show up to their stupid ass rallies. And so there's no way they could lose because look how many people are there versus their, right? Isn't that sort of the mantra they used to try to justify why they lost and really won?
This isn't really a Republican thing, though. This is a Trump thing.
Okay.
I mean, Trump did this when he lost the Iowa caucuses in 2016.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You know, he said that it was rigged for Ted Cruz. He said that when he didn't win an Emmy on The Apprentice, that the system was rigged. That's his mantra.
Right.
And now you've got people like Carrie Lake.
Right.
That are picking that up.
Right.
You know, now that has become the Republican thing, but this was a Trump thing.
So Trump made it into a Republican thing.
And he laid the groundwork for that this election was, you know, he basically said, if I lose, it's because of this conspiracy against me to keep me out of office.
You know, I remember when all this was happening, and I think I might have mentioned it on a previous show. I had posts on social media. Friends who I appreciate and respect a lot posted that, you know, I don't know if this is true about Dominion or not, but I really think Iowa needs to look at our voting process because it does seems to be something suspect. Something's unfair about the process. And, you know, there might be some fraud going on and we really need to tighten things up, right? This is despite the proof. The actual data says it was one of the most successful, least fraudulent, most participatory elections in Iowa history. And they won going away with red, like Republicans won. And they still had Republicans posting on social media, respected Republicans, saying, we really need to fix our election process because it's broken.
Yeah, I agree. I can't imagine there's that many stupid people in the state of Iowa either. There's no way the Democrats lost by the margin that they did.
Fair. That said,
I think we should look into that.
Should we look into it? Yeah, yeah. Everyone else went the other way. But yeah, so that happened. And then the state legislature, of course, the moment they got in 2021, what the first thing they do is they passed tight laws around elections. They made it harder to vote, which usually means you're making it harder to vote for Democrats. We had a whole episode on that at one point. This is all the ramifications of Trump, but ramifications of Fox News, of them putting false information into the populace with that large of an audience that's causing the breakdown of our democracy.
Well, they've been saying this for years, right? And if you watch Fox News with any regularity, which I like to flip over there to see what they're saying from time to time.
Right.
Occasionally I get so disgusted I have to change the channel. But, you can see, especially probably in the last 5 to 7 years, they realize their voting base is dying.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're the number one rated cable news show. But Gen X, Gen Z, millennials, they're not watching cable news.
No. Who is watching cable news?
Old white people.
Old white men.
Retired people that don't have anything else to do but sit around and stare at the TV all day.
And they just push fear. They push hate, anger, worrisome about our country and how, you know, violence and a kid in a hoodie is going to attack them on the street when they're out for their walk. All that kind. We actually went through stuff just a couple episodes ago where
we just talked about
just searched and it was just, it's all fear mongering constantly. Right. And as a result of this crap, we had what happened in Kansas City this weekend.
You're talking about Ralph Yarl.
Yeah.
Yeah. 16-year-old kid who happened to be black. From what we can find, he apparently is a genius. The point is that, you know, a lot of times there's this sort of stereotype made about young black males, right? In their overall appearance.
By Fox News, yes.
This kid didn't fit that appearance other than the fact that he was black.
Right.
Yeah.
And he shows up on, why was he attacking this guy?
He didn't attack him. He went to an address to pick up his siblings and apparently accidentally typed 115th Street instead of 115th Avenue into his GPS. And he showed up at the wrong house.
Wait, he was just knocking a ring and doorbell to pick up his siblings?
Yep.
There was no like younger fight brothers. Or he didn't have a gun in his pocket or nothing like that at all.
No, he rang somebody's doorbell.
And what happened?
And I believe it was during daylight hours too. But anyway, this old white man in his 80s not only shot him through the door, but then opened the door and shot him again.
Here it is.
Shot him in the head.
Shot him through the door?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was through the door.
Yeah, it said that it was. He fired through a glass skylight on the side of the door.
He didn't even open the door?
No.
Oh, my God.
That was the report that I read on it. And then he opened the door, realizing he was still alive, and shot him again.
So just for the record, guys, and for our listeners, this is all new. We're all reading about this morning. There's all kinds of reports out there. So
it happened Thursday. Today's Monday.
Right.
But, yeah, it's all brand new.
Yeah. So just definitely fact check before you go share this and anything else. Let get me, real news stories.
Give just a little bit of background because we always talk about the perpetrator. It's just this young kid who's clinging to life, right? His name's Ralph. Section leader in a marching band at high school. His goal was to graduate from high school, visit West Africa before going on to college. He could often be found with a musical instrument in hand. Most recently, he earned Missouri All-State Band honorable mention for playing the clarinet. According to a North Kansas City Schools newsletter in February, this is where this is all coming from, he also plays multiple instruments in the Metro Youth Orchestra. He's a member of his school's Technology Student Association and the Science Olympiad team. And he's a 2022 Missouri Scholars Academy alumni. Last summer, when he went to that academy, he got a whole college life experience. And it was at that time that he determined his goal is to attend Texas A&M to major in chemical engineering. So he hasn't been admitted yet, but that's what he wants to go do.
Either way, a bright upcoming kid with a bright future.
He's got a family and he takes care of his brothers. And his aunt is the one posting all the stuff on GoFundMe. He's raised $1 million already nationwide. People see exactly what's going on here.
Right. And just to be clear, Jacob's pointing out some pretty obvious stereotypes we have in our country about different things, but I don't care if it's a kid covered in dirt with a hoodie on.
Right.
You don't shoot him through the damn door.
No. I mean, I'm all for defending your property against home intruders and everything else.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is that somebody ringing your doorbell does not present a threat to you.
Yes.
You can't argue that any other way. Now, there may be some other facts in this case that come out yet to be decided. But the fact that this guy was held for 24 hours and released is fucked up.
Why was he released? He killed a kid. Or didn't kill him, but he attempted murder.
Apparently, under Missouri law, he either has to die or he has to provide a victim statement for charges to be filed.
Wait, so you can get shot in the brain, become in a vegetative state, and the perpetrator can't be held accountable?
Apparently not.
What the fuck?
Apparently not this early. It complicates it. It complicates it for the prosecutors more if he's still alive. So they have to do more legwork to be able to file charges.
Right.
And this is actually pretty common in attempted murder cases. It takes a while unless you have direct witnesses for it.
Right.
But from what I'm reading so far in the statements that have been released in the press conferences that the Kansas City Police Department has had, this guy's pretty much of the opinion that he was defending his property and he perceived a threat and that he feels he's innocent.
Because a black kid stepped on his porch and rang a doorbell.
Plus it's Missouri where guns have more rights than people.
Right.
Which is really no different than Iowa now.
So then we need to break down why did this guy perceive this kid as a threat, mm-hmm. right? Because he's 80 something years old. Well, the best he's doing is watching Fox News on his TV, right? I mean, we're making an assumption there, don't get me wrong, but a white guy in Missouri, 80 years old in a suburb, is it a suburb?
Yeah.
Is that a suburb?
Yeah, northern suburb.
Chances of him, statistically speaking, because we know this Fox News has this many viewers, he is their likely viewer base. Fox News's primary viewer base is over a certain age, and they get fed this crap of fear-mongering nonstop. Now, we can't prove this, don't get me wrong, but in what culture, in what society would anyone ever feel it's okay to unload on a kid who's ringing your doorbell, no matter what their color is? Why would they feel that way? There has to be some kind of influence on that, and you can't give me this, like, oh, he's insane case shit. This comes at you culturally. It comes at you socially. It comes at you through tons and tons of repeated brainwashing, essentially. And we know the culprit. Whether or not this particular guy is in this situation, the culprit's fucking Fox News. This is the kind of shit they add to our society every single night.
Fear, I think it's the conservative media in general. Fear anything that's not exactly like you.
Exactly. Fox News has got to go. You know, the GOP has gone that direction, period. They've been around long enough, Fox News has. They've influenced so many people that now those people who have been influenced are now our elected officials. And now it's either you're with us or you're against us, that kind of mentality. And we're seeing it over and over again. They are actively engaged in the destruction of our society right now. And you see it. They're a party of lawlessness, right? The GOP is.
I don't even know how to get from here to Marge Three Toes.
The classified document leaks.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, go there.
It's a party of lawlessness.
It's only good if it's good for them.
After that leak was detected, you could turn on Fox News and all the talk was about how reckless and irresponsible the Biden administration was for allowing this kind of information to be leaked.
Right.
And that the government wasn't doing enough to find this leaker. And whoever should be found should go to jail immediately. But then they find him.
Wait, before we do the find him, what is this classified document leak?
Oh, there were classified military documents leaked. Most of them had to do with our intelligence on Ukraine.
Okay.
And apparently one of the most damning things was there was a document that was leaked that was basically our intelligence community doubting Ukraine's ability to defend itself against Russia.
Okay. And that got put out there in the open. It was leaked. Everybody got pissed about it. And the Republicans went all in on Biden saying it was his fault.
Yep.
Okay. And then what happened?
So they find this 21-year-old kid who's a National Guardman, and he was a member of the Cyber Transportation Unit, which is a fancy name for intelligence information technology.
Sure.
And they were working on some servers, which, quite frankly, I'm surprised that a 21-year-old National Guard person would have access to that high level of stuff. But regardless, he did. But doing background investigations on this kid, they figured out that he was kind of an oddball when he was in high school, was kind of a gun nut. In fact, they talked to some of the people that he went to high school with. A lot of people thought that he might be the next school shooter type person.
Oh.
But he's definitely got social media presence and things currently that basically show he's a Christian nationalist. So in his mind, apparently, I'm sure there'll be more to see, you know, as this case progresses. But in his mind, he was doing a patriotic thing by releasing this out to the public.
So let's take that back to Marjorie Three Names. Talk about the party of lawlessness then in that context, Kellen.
Well, in this context, the law is clear that you don't do certain things with classified documents. And so I think there are two currents here. There's the, we're going to defend this person who believes they're taking a shot at the deep state, right? And so it's this deeply ingrained ideological perspective from Marjorie Taylor Greene's point of view, where she has to lift people up like that.
She's defending a known criminal.
Right. Well, we'll set that aside, right? Okay. That's her excuse is, it's a means to an end. The crime is the means to the end of fighting the deep state, right? In her fucked up worldview.
Yeah.
there's that. But then there's the other current here of it's the same thing President Trump did, or former President Trump did, is took classified documents. Now, we don't know if he put them on a game server and spread them around to people. From all reports so far, it sounds like there's at least a map that he's been showing to people that shouldn't be looking at that map.
Right.
But in essence, it's the exact same crime.
So they're defending because they have to defend their own GOP people.
Right.
There's a victim component to this, too. You know, she tries to martyr herself as she's targeted for her Christian nationalist beliefs.
Right.
And she's playing the victim in this sense, too, saying, see, this guy's a Christian right. nationalist and he's being targeted. If he wasn't a Christian nationalist, no one would be talking about this.
And that's coming on the heels now of her and others protesting in New York just a few weeks ago after former President Donald Trump was indicted on some pretty serious charges and potentially the first of many. And Marjorie Taylor Greene showed up in New York and decided to defend a criminal there as well.
And they found out what life outside of the echo chamber is like.
What happened? What happened?
In typical New York style, they told her to go the fuck home.
Yeah.
Literally.
That sounds right. That said, okay, so now we know that GOP people like to defend criminals. I mean, that's been made pretty clear. What else we got? We got Governor Abbott down in Texas.
Well, now, again, this the party of lawlessness and disorder, right? So now you have a guy who was convicted by a jury of his peers, went through the whole process, convicted of killing a protester at a Black Lives Matter event. The person that this person had killed was armed, walking around. Nothing wrong with that in Texas. But by all accounts, by all eyewitnesses, all the people that the prosecution brought in, this guy was looking for a fight and tried to pick one and was looking to start something. He had all sorts of social media posts about how he was going to go hunt down looters tonight, texts to his friends.
This guy being the guy that was convicted.
His name's Daniel Perry, who was found guilty by a jury in the death of 28-year-old Garrett Foster, who was among those demonstrating in Austin. And a day after the man was convicted of murder, Governor Abbott went on social media and said he would work to pardon him
right.
the day after he was convicted.
So this is another piece, too, by the way. The law only counts to Republicans if it's a jury of people from the regions where they're red. Right. Because they're already dismissing New York's grand juries for all these cases that are happening. Abbott specifically talks about the liberal Austin jury that he points out. Like, we have strong stand your ground laws and that liberal Austin jury is misinterpreting them. So I'm going to pardon this guy.
Well, at the end of the day, this is really about rights for me and not for thee.
Right.
Okay. I mean, to put this in perspective, if you're a right winger listening to us right now and you believe strongly in gun rights. Basically, what happened here is somebody was lawfully carrying a firearm, according to Texas law, and this guy felt that he had a right to shoot them
right.
because they were protesting something that he was against.
Right.
That's really what this boils down to. So if you're one of those people that say, well, he did the right thing and he should be defended for this, but you're somebody who carries a gun in public, then you're basically saying somebody has the right to perceive you as a threat and shoot you for no other reason than you're carrying a gun in public.
So, yeah, Daniel Perry, 30-year-old U.S. Army sergeant, had been working his Uber shift. He was out on Uber, working for Uber, when he encountered a protest against police brutality in Austin, and it was blocking the road. He stopped. He honked his horn at the protesters. There were a few interactions between him and the people who were walking around. Eventually, it looks like he ran a red light, drove his car into the crowd looking to hit somebody. But the guy who ends up getting shot, this Garrett Foster, he's walking around with an assault rifle like he's allowed to in Texas. And he came, I guess, close to this guy's car, and the guy just shot him. Claimed self-defense, said that Foster had pointed his weapon at him. All the eyewitnesses around contradicted this account. And I remember this as a group of Black Lives Matter protesters, but police interviewed Perry afterwards and asked what happened and how Foster had pointed his gun at him. And Perry said, I believe he was going to aim it at me. I didn't want to give him a chance to aim it at me, which implies in the original statement to the police that the guy didn't aim his right. gun.
So again, he shot somebody for lawfully carrying a firearm.
Right.
They heard from 40 witnesses. They deliberated for 15 hours and they came out with a conviction.
Right.
The next day, the governor and his attorney general are all on the political bandwagon. Why? Tucker Carlson runs a piece that night on national TV talking about how Daniel Perry needs to be freed and shouldn't have been convicted today. The next day, Governor Abbott goes out and says, we're going to pardon him.
Fox News has got to go. We have a constitution. We have state laws. We have state constitutions. We have municipality codes. We have county laws and codes. All these things are in place. They can't be subverted unless the people will it so, and the people haven't willed it so. And what's happening is the GOP is getting convicted of laws that we've created as a society, and the GOP is openly saying they're bad, they're wrong, and they're going against it.
You know, I really think people are starting to pick up on this shit, though. Not just us. I think everyday Americans. The Houston Chronicle has a piece that specifically ties the Tucker Carlson piece to the Governor Abbott announcing the pardon.
Nice.
Right? You go back through the list. Rolling Stone has a whole thing. They go point to the interview that Tucker Carlson has with Kyle Rittenhouse the night of. Tucker Carlson brings Kyle Rittenhouse on his show.
Are you kidding
me? The night that Daniel Perry gets convicted to talk about how awful it was that Daniel Perry just got convicted.
Explain to the audience if they don't know who Kyle
Rittenhouse is. Kyle Rittenhouse is that little kid.
A teenager, but yeah.
His mom drives him in an assault rifle like 4 hours to Kenosha, Wisconsin, where he doesn't live.
Right.
And he goes up there during Black Lives Matter. Similar situation, same summer, probably in and around the similar week or whatever. This is all in the summer of 2020. And he ends up like engaged with two or three people. He ends up killing people, walks because he claims self-defense. But
he threw himself into it.
He shows up and engages with people. He has no business being there. He's not from around there. He's not a community member. Right. And he shows up with an assault rifle.
It's just pathetic.
Like he's going off to a war zone. Like he's going off to fight somebody. Like he's heading into a conflict.
Right. And if you think we're being a little bit hyperbolic here, we're not. You know, my buddy and I went thrift shopping the other day. And it wasn't here in Mount Pleasant, so I'm not going to throw names or anybody into the bus here. But we're thrift shopping. And, you know, we're seriously looking at getting some stuff. And then around the corner, we start hearing the local owner operator of the store and a couple of the regulars in there. They're just sitting there hanging out and chilling. Start talking about Bud Light. They're like, oh, did you hear about Bud Light? And the other person says, yeah, I heard it went woke. And then the other person says, oh, yeah, but they lost billions. Good for them, because wrong is wrong. It was wrong 100 years ago, and it's wrong now. That whole LGBTQ, whatever, that's just wrong. You know, and at this point, we're used to this here in rural. It does happen. But then he goes and takes it to another level. He says, 100 years ago, if you went out in the field and you stepped in a cow pie, then that was wrong. And it's just as wrong now to step on a cow pie. And I'm like, what the fuck? Okay. And I'm like, I finally just looked up and said, you ready to go? And he's like, yeah. And we walked out, and as we're walking out, I was like, oh, did you find what you're looking for? We're like, no. Well, you didn't buy anything yet. I'm like, not gonna. I just walked out, right? That's straight out of Fox News. That woke this, woke that, all that crap. All the anti-trans stuff, anti-LGBTQ plus stuff, that's straight out of Fox News, people. And well, you know what? This is a tiny town we are in. There are LGBTQ plus people living in that town. What is going to stop one of them from making that transition from they're woke, they're evil, they ruin our society, according to what Tucker Carlson tells me, to I'm just going to use a stand your ground law when they walk up on my front porch to deliver my mail or to ring the wrong doorbell, or they walked into my thrift shop and I felt threatened on my property. What's going to stop them? And will they be held accountable? And according to what's going on now, no, they won't. And that, my friends, is fascism at its finest. It's why Fox News has got to go. So I'm really fascinated on what happens with this Dominion.
Fascinated.
Well, the whole thing, that whole Bud Light thing is such manufactured outrage.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Because they didn't lose billions in stock.
No. Did they not? I don't know. That's what they were saying.
No, their stocks climbed since March of 23. It took a slight dip. But if you look at it over the course of the year, it actually, they had a huge uptick between March of 23 and April of 23.
Stocks up half
point
today.
This didn't hurt them at all. And you know,
it's up 8% in the last month.
You had the has-been celebrities that came out. You know, you had...
It might be Kellen, though. His refrigerator's full of Bud Light now. He used to have good taste in beer. Now it's all Bud Light.
A lot of Bud Light lately.
Well, you have, like, you know, Travis Tritt came out and said he was taking off his tour, right?
Who?
Exactly. Has-been celebrities.
Has-been celebrities, yeah.
Country music musician from the 90s.
Yeah. Kid Rock came out. He's a has-been as well, right?
But they said, oh, we're taking all this off our tour writers. Well, you know what? okay, great, you don't have it in your fucking green room, but the venues that you're performing in are still going to sell it.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Rich from Big and Rich said that he was going to take it out of his bar in Nashville. Well, they went in there and found that both him and Kid Rock were still selling it. Uh-huh. So then their story changed to nobody's buying it. It's stacking up in the back room.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. I'm sure all the bachelorette parties that go through there every single day give two fucks about what's on their beer can.
Right. Exactly. Well, weren't you at a monster truck rally this last weekend, Kellen?
I sure was.
Was there Bud Light there?
There was a lot of Bud Light. They had Bud Light Tall Boys.
Nice.
They had Bud Light Drafts.
Uh-huh.
They had Bud Light Little Boys.
There's Bud Light Little Boys?
Little Boys. They had Bud Heavy, too. Just in case you didn't like their LGBT appreciation, the other option was Coors Light.
So who were the first major beer?
Yeah, that's the other thing is what are they drinking?
Yeah, there's nothing left.
I mean, InBev owns everything.
Back to the moonshine, boys.
And I know plenty of Iowans that are not going to stop drinking Bush Light because of this.
Well, and why would you? Well, unless you are so incredibly insecure with your manhood and you're so worried that your buddies are going to think you're gay because you drink a Bud Light. First of all, who cares if you're gay or not? It's not a big deal. People need to get the fuck over that. But number two, if you're that insecure, I recommend a therapist or two instead of worrying about what
beer you're
drinking.
Yeah, these are the so-called alpha males that are in the gym every day anyway that are probably drinking Michelob Ultra when they go out to the bar anyway.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Bernie, what were you going to say? Sorry, I missed you.
I forgot now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't think it was an important contribution or anything, but doesn't Coors sponsor the Pride Fest in
Denver?
In Denver?
Yeah.
A huge,
of course,
like title sponsor.
And Miller supports the one in Milwaukee.
Yep. Good luck finding. I mean, crap beer supports all kinds of LGBTQ plus.
Well, that's the thing about.
So does non-crap beer.
Crap beer is just like most of the major American brands where they just want to appeal to everybody.
Right.
So they're out there supporting anything that'll get them.
This is really no different. When people say, oh, but it's such a small segment of the population. This is no different than when I go out to the press box, when the local sports bar is here. And they have, you know, the Bud Light sign with an Iowa Hawkeye Tiger Hawk logo next to it.
Yeah.
Or a St. Louis Cardinals logo next to it. Or if I go to Chicago, it's a Cubs logo. I mean, that's what beer companies do.
Right.
You know, if you go to a concert and you see an ad, it's not going to be a fucking guy standing in a cornfield. It's going to be people at a rock concert.
Exactly.
That's what they do.
Yeah. They support who's drinking their beer at that given time. Now, just for clarification for all our listeners, I said crap beer, C-R-A-P, not craft beer. And granted, I think the three of us we're indiscriminate when it comes to beer. We'll drink a crap beer, and we'll also drink a really, really good craft beer.
I'm drinking a lot of Bud Light these days, but
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Got to support. But this isn't a game, everybody. That's the thing that's pissing me off. Like, well, I'm on this side, and I'm on this side. As if it's sports, right? Like, they picked a team, and because their team got represented by a trans person, suddenly that's the other team, and oh, God, I can't drink my Bud Light. We're talking about people's lives here. We're talking about people, their livelihoods being disrupted by these assholes who are making them feel like shit for being born a certain way. And they then, in many cases, go and either take action against these people. There's a long history. They have a freaking day of remembrance for trans people because of suicide and murder. Right? Like, that's how bad it is, right? And then on top of that, now our state legislatures across the country have been taking this momentum, pushed forward by Fox News, I might add, against trans people, and just absolutely just doing everything they possibly can at the state level to pass laws to make it, number one, almost impossible to be trans, and number two, create this sense of hate and the sense of oppression, the real oppression of trans people across our country. As a result of all this shit.
Well, and the narrative of what actually happened in the case with Bud Light got completely lost in all of the debate.
What was that?
Well, this was not going to be a can. It's not like you were going to go down to your local bar and you were going to be given a can that had Dylan Mulvaney's face on it.
No?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This was a special commemorative thing that was basically done specifically for them. Like, do you remember
it was a six pack?
Do you remember the whole Carson King thing?
No, explain that.
So if you're not from Iowa, there was
the Bush Light guy?
Yes. Iowa State game. He was on game day and he held up the Venmo sign and it was a joke. He wanted beer money and then it turned into like millions of dollars that he raised for the the Stead Family Children's Hospital
at the University, of Iowa. Yeah,
and he got all kinds of attention for that. And Busch Light actually made a commemorative can for him and gave him like a year's supply of beer.
That's right.
Until the Des Moines Register fucked it up.
Right.
Of course.
And went back and dug up some tweet that he put out when he was like 14.
Right. So what's now, who's Mulvaney then?
Dylan Mulvaney is the one. He's a TikTok star. I shouldn't say he.
They.
It might even
they,
be
them?
She. I think it's they.
Okay. Yep.
Non-binary, transgender on TikTok.
Like a TikTok star, celeb type person? Okay.
So it's like an influencer thing.
Yeah.
And Bud Light basically paired up with her face on the can. And it was going to be sold at like Pride Fest.
And that's it.
That's it. Like you weren't going to go down to Hy-Vee and find this shit on the shelf.
Right. And that would have been great if we did. I would have been okay with that because it's just beer in a can.
Just to clarify, Dylan Mulvaney prefers she, they.
She, they. Okay, good to know. Good to know. See, isn't that hard, guys?
That's fucking hard.
You know, we're trying to figure it out. They, them, he, then. And we make mistakes, but you know what? We're trying. It's not that hard to try. Mm-mm. I screw up all the time with it, but at least we're trying. So I'm really proud of us in this room for trying. That's awesome.
Thanks, Mike.
Anytime. Thanks for the clarification. I appreciate it. Hey, Fox News got to go. That's the summary here, everybody.
Well, the only thing I'll say to that, though, is this is kind of like the Iraq War a little bit. I mean, you get rid of Saddam Hussein, and there's a vacuum that gets filled with al-Qaeda. So that means, like, Newsmax or, you know, one of the other really batshit crazy people is probably going to step in to fill that vacuum if Fox News goes under.
So I sort of see as car companies, right? They would build these cars, and sometimes they had a defect in it that was so bad that it was lethal. And instead of recalling all those cars and fixing them all, they would do these financial calculations and determine whether or not it was worth this many people dying versus having to recall all these cars, right?
Is that like in Fight
Club? Yeah, they explain this in Fight
Club. Yeah, is that in Fight Club? Yeah, it's probably where I learned it then. So look this one up, right? Look this one up. But the bottom line is, when they were taken to court about it, their penalty was far beyond what is normally reasonable because it had to be way above and beyond in order to keep these companies from doing this shit. Otherwise, it's just another calculation in their accounting. Like, well, we can pay that fee. We can do this, that kind of shit, right? I'm hoping that this thing with Fox News is so bad that it sets a precedent so that these fuckers over in Newsmax and all these other stupid ass companies that are trying to do this, these news companies, air quotes again, they'll second guess themselves because it's so bad against these corporate types that are doing this shit.
Well, I'll throw us under the bus here. I hope that the result of it is that we have to have a disclaimer at the beginning of it to say this is political opinion commentary, not fact.
I like it.
That's you're going to have people on the right say that MSNBC should have to do the same thing.
Yeah, and for their political commentary shows, I'm fine with that. Love it.
I mean, that's most of what cable news is now, is it's all editorializing, and that's fine. That's great for political discourse, but the difference is that I don't think that people watch Rachel Maddow and walk away from that thinking that they're going to need to fear the world, whereas people are watching Tucker Carlson and taking that as absolute fact.
Right, 100%. Disclaimer. Through a White Guys podcast is not based in fact, but it's actually based in political opinion of three guys drinking beer in their garage. All right, guys, anything else you want to add to the pot here? You know what? We used to have this really cool segment at the end of our shows that we sort of gave up on a little bit. I'd love to
have
one back.
I have one
for you. What do you got?
Did we talk about the New York City thing?
Are you talking about they think we're fucking stupid?
No. I had a whole different one, but what do you got? You want
to
do that one?
I was just going to do you think we're stupid and talk about that would be a good chance of New York City clown show. Or what were you thinking?
I was going way back to the, what was it? Hey, we got your back that we did with Deidre Dejere, like the positive thing. Or we're feeling, like we did with teachers and healthcare professionals and all that kind of stuff. Or what was it? We said something like that. Should have talked about this ahead of time. But they think we're fucking stupid. Although I was giving good feedback that we say it too many times in our segment. So I'm going to back off a little bit. But they think we're stupid, guys. What do you got? You got one, Kellen?
Yeah. Those House Judiciary Republicans really think we're stupid, Mike.
What'd they do this time?
Well, they packed up the entire committee and then went down to New York City and hosted this like open committee hearing where they paraded all these victims of crime in New York City up and asked them a bunch of questions about how their crimes were being, you know, the prosecutors weren't going after the people who had committed these crimes against them and so on and so forth. And the idea here, right, is Alvin Bragg is a Manhattan DA, and so the House GOP members are trying to highlight how Alvin Bragg is ignoring real crime that's happening in New York City to go after Donald Trump. But here's what's funny. Columbus, Ohio is the city that's next to Jim Jordan's district, and New York City has a violent crime rate of like 5 point something per capita right now.
Right.
And Columbus, Ohio has a violent crime rate of like 15 point something per capita right now. So it's like,
I mean, that's not funny, but yeah.
Jim Jordan, what are you doing, man? Why don't you go home and worry about your own district?
Right. Right.
Take a nap too.
Take a nap and put on a damn jacket.
He just looks pissed all the time.
Oh, damn, man.
It's all a show. They think we're stupid. You got one, Jacob?
Yeah, I do. So, I mean, this is probably not going to be enacted in the law realistically, but I actually read about this yesterday and it just made me think, don't we have more important things to deal with? So in North Carolina, there's a Senate bill, DRS 45207-MV-17. I don't know why they label them that way.
I like it.
But what it says, youth sports or other youth recreation activities operated under the authority of a local government shall not include awards for participants based solely on their participation in the sport or other activity. Awards provided in connection with the activity, if any, shall be based on identified performance achievements.
They're weaponizing the participation award?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
No,
so,
I'm not.
So you don't get a water bottle every time you do a 5K.
Dude, that's crazy, man.
You don't get to...
That's crazy.
Yeah, so my
oh, my God.
I thought a lot about this, and I understand why certain generations of people get really outraged by this
because they never got a trophy at all.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I, you know, my kids are engaged in plenty of activities and this is not a fucking problem.
Right.
Okay. My 8-year-old son plays rec league soccer for the city and I don't think they give out any kind of awards, but it's supposed to be fun.
Right.
They're supposed to learn the fundamentals of the game. And the way that you get kids to keep coming back is to encourage that activity.
Right.
My oldest daughter does travel softball and plays in tournaments. And sometimes they win, sometimes they don't. You know, she has trophies and medals and rings and stuff on a trophy case at home. But they usually do get some sort of a ribbon that says, hey, you participated in this.
Right.
I mean, there's still winners and losers clearly defined.
Right.
Same with my daughter who does competition dance. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging that you put the effort into something, showed the discipline to participate in an activity,
right,
and still have, you know, an acknowledgement that somebody outperformed you or that you won.
Yeah. We got to celebrate people for showing up. In a society where people don't show up and do stuff and put the time and energy in, you celebrate them. I don't
care if they win. And where childhood obesity is rampant right now.
Yeah.
I mean, things that are getting kids out and being active, we should be encouraging
Dang
that.
Right.
Dang so we got to put forth a bill to ban participation trophies. Either you're fucking stupid or that's just pandering. That's fear-mongering pandering.
100%.
Which is probably more likely what that actually is.
Right.
That's pandering to boomers.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And they're the ones that scream the loudest when they don't get an extra, like, coffee cup when they participate in something.
Oh, yeah. See somebody over the age of 65 that doesn't get their senior citizen.
Where's my water bottle?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I did it.
Yeah, where's White History Month?
That could make sense, but...
That is one of my pet peeves, though.
They're the same people saying, where's White History Month? Where's Straight History Month?
Right, yeah.
They want their participation trophy.
So I think mine is this one. It's a little more personal, local, on a lot of levels, actually. So... For those of you who don't know, our local university closed in our little rural town here in Southeast Iowa. Iowa Wesleyan University announced their closure after 170 some years of operation. And it was devastating to our town, right? And for those that are around here, we sort of didn't see it coming this year per se, but we saw it coming. Back in 2018, they announced closure. A couple donors came in and bailed them out barely to get along and create a partnership with local community college, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But never any indication that the numbers were doing enough better to keep them off the brink, right? So anyone that's worked there, anyone that's gone to school there has known that that's a potential, that it could happen. They hoped that it didn't. They cared about the place, saw the importance in our community about it, right? But we knew that it could happen at any time. So we're sitting there 2 days later after the announcement, and we have a legislative breakfast. And breakfast opens up, and there's two senators and a state rep there. And then comes in Jeff Shipley, our representative here, who represents our town and represents Iowa Wesleyan, looking slightly disheveled, having not shown up hardly at all at the state legislature to take any votes when they should have been.
Wasn't he late, too?
And he was late. He's like 20 minutes late and looking completely disheveled. Like, he walked in, his hair was a mess. He just looked like he was like, I'm, you know, walked in, sits down. And then the topic turns to Iowa Wesleyan. And across the board, especially with Jeff, oh, we didn't have any clue this was happening. No one told us. Like, that was the defense on everything. Over and over and over again. That's the way they justified not helping the community. Well, I didn't know about it. No one told us, right? The entire room knew about it long before it closed. And the fact is, they don't give a shit about relationships. They don't give a crap about getting to know their community and the people within their community and organizations. They even said, when they were called out on that, by Republicans, I might add, when they were called out on that, they said openly, like, well, there are so many people in our districts. We can't talk to everybody. We won't know what's going on. And then one of the Republicans in the room says, but you should at least have good relationships with the people running your biggest and most important institutions.
Yeah, an economic driver for the whole fucking county.
$55.1 million economic impact per year that place had, right? They think we're stupid, that they're paying attention. They don't want to see higher education happen. They don't give a crap about their local economies or even their local thing. And here's how we know. Here's how we know. We're sitting there, and they go on and on about how they didn't know anything. Don't know anything about Wesleyan, anything about a closing, over and over and over again. And then at the end of it, one of our other constituents says, and also, why do you guys have 29 bills against LGBTQ plus people? And Jeff Shipley practically stood out of his seat in excitement and went on for a 10-minute rant about trans people.
Well, that's what they care about.
He knew everything that's about trans people.
That's all they
care about. Yeah. I mean, he was, in his mind, the expert about trans issues and so on and so on. And that was it. He knew nothing about one of the most important economic drivers in his district. And he knew everything about a topic that impacts almost no one, maybe 0.001% of our community. He knew everything there was to know about that. They think we're stupid. It's all culture war.
So this is happening in every single red controlled state right now.
Yes, it is.
I mean, they're pushing the same fucking bills. They're almost worded exactly the same.
Yep.
And they're ignoring what's going on economically. They're ignoring infrastructure. They're ignoring healthcare. They're ignoring education.
So let's go there as our final piece here. Who is doing that? Who is putting forth those bills that sound the exact same? They're written the exact same.
Alec.
Right.
The American Legislative Exchange.
Americans for Prosperity.
Council.
The Heritage Foundation.
Yep.
Hey, Bernie, you have a clip, actually, don't you, over there that has a member of the Heritage Foundation talking about targeting Iowa specifically with some of their bills.
I sure do.
$24 million investment over the next 2 years. We've already started. We're working with these state legislators to make sure they have all of the information they need to draft the bill. In some cases, we actually draft them for them, or we have a sentinel on our behalf give them the model legislation. So it has that grassroots, you know, from the bottom up type of vibe. Iowa was the first state that we got to work in, and we did it quickly and we did it quietly. Governor Reynolds signed the bill on March 8th. Little fanfare, honestly, nobody even noticed. My team looked at me like, it can't be that easy.
So that was a clip from a conference where one of the members of the Heritage Foundation, I think they're called, is bragging about how they took this legislation into the state of Iowa and started putting these pieces in place and got them through with no, like, even thought put into it by Republicans and no countering from Democrats because no one's paying attention because they think we're stupid.
Well, look at the legislative process. I mean, some of these things have been pushed to where the debate goes on late into the night. It finally passes overnight when nobody's paying attention anymore, and then it's immediately signed into law the next morning.
Right.
And in that same clip, she talks about the fact that they pushed this in the states that you can't waste any time. Once it passes, you need to get it signed.
Right.
And there have been plenty of other laws that are like non-controversial things, like, you know, changing, like, for example, when the state changed the blood alcohol level for drunk driving from 1.0 to 0.08, they
right.
that was like, okay, it's going to go into effect July 1st. It's March, but it won't go into effect until July 1st. But we've got to shut down the trans kids right fucking now.
Right. Right. There's that piece. And then when they, in what, 2016, I can't remember what year it was, when they completely got rid of collective bargaining in the state of Iowa, the right to work state. We made ourselves a right to work state.
Yep, literally signed overnight.
Not a single Republican actually campaigned on that, by the way. And then they took control of the state house. And the moment they took control, it was hardly any debate. It was done and gone. And the state of Iowa had no chance to even go out against it. And it's that kind of crap. It's taking advantage of the system in its worst moments instead of allowing things to be put out in the open.
And they're starting to try and keep the media from covering this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Tennessee wins the award for fuck around and find out this week on that.
What happened in that case?
I love that award.
Fuck around and find out.
Oh, God, yes.
That might be our news segment here. What happened with that?
Well, if you hadn't been following the news, they voted to try to remove three Democratic state legislators from the Tennessee House.
Right.
You know, because of the big shooting in Nashville, the school shooting, there were literally thousands of kids that showed up to protest that. And these three brought them into the chambers. And it apparently violated their rules of decorum.
Sure.
And so the Speaker of the House made a movement to kick them out.
Usually there's like removal from committees and some like censoring, right?
Yeah.
And that's usually the extent of that kind of thing. They actually went to remove them from office.
Right. And it was a white woman and two black men.
And they all got ejected, right?
No, just the two black guys. One was from Memphis, one was from Nashville. And I think the other one, I think the white woman, I think was also represented a section of Nashville.
That's not racist.
Yeah, they
at
kicked
all.
The two black guys out. So then there was leaked audio that came from a Republican meeting between the Republican legislatures and Cameron Sexton is this guy's name. And he's basically ranting and raving about, you know, I'm being called a racist now, and I've never been called a racist in my life. I mean, they're like, you know, horribly upset about this and realizing that he's gonna have to take course. Well, under Tennessee law, the districts get to pick who they send back.
Right.
And they can vote to send them back, even though they've been kicked out, which is exactly what they did.
Of course.
So 2 weeks ago, nobody outside of Tennessee knew who Cameron Sexton was. Now everybody in the country knows who he is, including every investigative reporter. And they've now gotten into his shit.
Affairs.
Fuck around and find out.
Deputy comms officials for the governor's office and real estate, shady real estate deals. Yeah, he doesn't even live in his district.
He's from Crossville, which is on the other side of Tennessee, and he had a $450,000 house, which he sold and bought some shitty two-bedroom condo and then bought like a $1.5 million house through a straw purchase in Nashville.
Good Lord.
But he pays rent to a friend who purchased it for him. But the state reimburses him per diem and mileage for driving from Crossville, but he's been living in Nashville the whole time. And that's like
fraud.
Yeah, that's defrauding the government and theft.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, now the racial card has been brought back into it because there was, I think it was Memphis, there was a city councilman who happened to be black who did the same thing.
Right.
And he was actually arrested and charged. So now there's a lot of people clamoring, saying you need to arrest and charge Cameron Sexton.
Right, right.
So yeah, they fucked around and found out.
You know, and that really puts a nice bow on our episode here, guys. Because what do they call the journalism?
The Fourth Estate.
The Fourth Estate.
Show me state.
The Show Me State. Now that's where it's all happening. So they call it the Fourth Estate. And historically, journalism was local. And we all had our local newspapers and our local radio stations, and they do all the research and stuff. And so when you had, let's say, a city government or a county government that had some corruption in it, the journalist was there at all those meetings. The news reporters were there at all those meetings. They were paid to be there because they could afford it through their newspaper sales and their ad sales and revenue and so on. And that's not the case anymore. All these small town newspapers are gone. Most of them are falling apart. Radio stations are gone. This is like probably a really good episode to do on mass media and how it's been taken over by a handful of companies. And the reality is now we're getting all our news from the exact same source, and it's controlled by a handful of groups and people as opposed to independent news sources that can do this research that we'd have found out about this a long time ago, about these guys doing this crap with the real estate. But there's no money in it anymore.
This is the reason for the congressional backlash against TikTok.
Why is that?
I don't think it has dick to do with Chinese. I think it has everything to do with the fact that you have people now that are reporting things that aren't being reported in the media. I've found out about a lot of things just from scrolling through TikTok for an hour or so every evening.
That's fascinating.
I mean, you have to be with it enough to actually go like fact check some of the stuff.
Right.
But if you Google it, you can find it.
Yeah.
And I think, again, that's why Gen Z is not watching Fox News. They're not watching CNN. They're not watching MSNBC. They're getting their information from social media.
Yeah.
So when it scares the shit out of them because they can't control what's being put out there.
So in the end, it may not matter whether or not Dominion wins a lawsuit against Fox News and opens it up to other lawsuits. What really may matter is over the course of this decade, Fox News is going to just die anyway.
The Republican Party is going to die. They've given up on actual policy because their policy is shit.
Right.
So they've stuck to the culture wars because that still engages those older voters.
Right.
But as those people die off, it's going to be very telling in 2024 because we have one of the largest groups of voters coming of age in 50 years.
Right.
That will be of age to vote.
Right.
And it's more than likely that they're going to vote left. But I don't think that Democrats should necessarily sit back on their haunches and expect that to carry them through.
Right.
They're going to expect policy because they've grown up with the country in turmoil for the last 20 years, and they've got no use for that shit.
So the fascinating part there in that context will be Democrats in rural areas and how they adjust to that change, because it's not necessarily the same demographic shift in terms of young and old that they're seeing in other places.
Nope.
So that will be fascinating to see. Kellen, anything else to add at the end here? I do want to see this picture you've been working on.
Yeah, I've been working on a picture of Bernie.
Of Bernie? Mm-hmm. Are you going to throw it on our website?
Yeah, it's going to go up.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, this has been the Three Rural White Guys podcast. We are working with our amazing producer. Bernie, thank you for joining us today and getting us on the right path here. I don't know why you're using new technology to overdub my voice to say how amazing you are, but congratulations, you figured out how to do it. We'll see y'all next week. Take care. Bye.
Why is it doing that? Why is it giving me a left or right option?
No clue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Got it. Transcribing.
Grew up with cornfields in every direction. That's where I learned all of my lessons about life and living without fences. In the land of the free to have opinions. If you work a job, you ought to make a living. George Strait or George Gay, there's no difference. People need help and I think that we should listen. Three chords and my truth is I'm a good old boy with a bleeding heart. Just a homegrown hick with a hybrid car. Wide open spaces, plenty of room for us all to be safe in. Yeah, that's the future that I'm chasing, so I'm gonna go make it. I'm a good old boy with a bleeding heart, just a homegrown hick with a hybrid car. Heart, just a homegrown hick with a hybrid car. I think y'all means all, and I know we all just wanna know that we belong.